Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I don't know how much more time he thinks he needs, but I hope that Speaker Boehner will speak up today, and if he does not, the president will borrow the power that is needed to solve the problems of immigration, and he shouldn't be sued as a result.
Did you hear what Turbin just said? Did you hear how outrageous they are becoming? He just said President Obama will borrow the power needed to do what he wants on immigration. Have you ever heard of anything like this in the history of the United States of America? No, because it's never been done before. You've seen a coup occur right in front of your eyes, and you all know it. Anyone with more than 100 IQ understands we've had a coup in the United States of America by the radical left. Now they're naked about it. Supreme Court said 9-0 last week to Obama. You overreached. 9-0. He said the next day, I'll do what I want anyway. I got a pen and a stool. Now you got Pelosi going to the border saying we don't have a border. We have one community with a border going through it. In other words, she nullified our border. That's an impeachable offense. Turbin Durbin, the same senator who called our boys Nazis during the war in Iraq, called them Nazis, Turbin Durbin, has the nerve to say the president will borrow the power necessary to pass immigration amnesty. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. What are you going to do about this? Your country has been hijacked by a rogue presidency. Many have called it an imperial presidency, but I threw that out. I said, no, that was originally applied to Nixon. I think it was the first time it had been applied. They said, imperial president. No, we don't have an imperial presidency. We have a rogue presidency. And the reason I call this a rogue presidency is because he is so far out of the ken of even the liberal Democrat tradition that it's a rogue presidency. He doesn't even reflect the liberal wing of the Democrat Party anymore. He reflects something quite different than liberal democracy or liberal Democrat Party, rather. He is a rogue president. He is on the warpath against every institution and every semblance of American civilization. He will not stop until his own party stops him. The only people who can stop a rogue president are the people in the same party as he. Only the Democrats can understand what he is doing, and only the Democrats, the sensible ones, the adults, who understand there's a nation beyond radical Obama. Those who understand there has to be a nation after he leaves office can step in and remove him from office. Now, you say it won't happen. It can happen. It's happened in other countries. It can happen here. It happened in England after that horrible speech by an English, he was the prime minister at the time. He went over to Germany after they invaded Poland or before it, and he said, we have peace with Germany, blah, blah, blah. The next day, Hitler invaded Poland. Back in January, our DHS and ICE were trying to get contractors to get ready for taking these illegals across America in order to dump them on cities and towns across the country for reasons you can pretty much figure out by now. The evidence is there for anyone wanting to look at it. Texas is standing up to them. And you want to hear something interesting? Baltimore, which is about as Democrat as you can get in this country, it's as far left Democrat as you can get, refuse to permit them to dump illegal children on their doorstep. And that's because the city fathers, who were pretty tough, understood that the working class whites and the working class blacks would go crazy if they dumped another poverty population on them. They said no, they didn't want them. California was supposed to get a few airplanes full of them. California just said no. Who wants them? The answer is nobody. And the answer is, I'm sorry, but the lifeboat is full. I'm sorry, but we have veterans waiting to be served by doctors. We're not going to put children from Honduras ahead of our veterans. I'm sorry, we have people with cancer. We have people on welfare in this country who are barely getting by. Why should you put children and women from Honduras and Guatemala ahead of them for social services unless you want to over, unless you want to overwhelm the social service network, which is what Obama is obviously trying to do. So that's why I don't want to talk about it. I said I could prove it. I don't want to prove it because I just did. So don't call me on it. I know how you feel about it. New England mayors call for refugee resettlement freeze. Democrats are saying no. Obama's saying yes. Axelrod's saying yes. The four horsewomen of the apocalypse are saying yes. So that's why I want to talk about free will. A new study came out from the University of California, Davis, which is a fairly fine university in the sciences. And they said that they found that decisions could be predicted based on patterns of brain activity, and that free will could simply be the result of background noise in the brain, that we have no free will. Now, I don't believe that. I believe we have total free will. I remember when my first child was a baby, and he would smile. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was on the university campus at the time, and the progressives were already starting their march on the world. And when the baby would smile, they would say, he's not smiling, he has no emotions, it's a conditioned response, he's burping. I said, get out of here, you're out of your mind. So I already saw the Nazism inherent in the left back then, just in their perceptions of a baby's reactions. The left are the new Nazis of our time, make no mistake about it, which is why they're silent on the issue of Islamofascism, because they actually like them. They think it's a good role model for them to take over America. But let's not get too dramatic about it. I want to talk about free will for a minute, because many people don't believe in free will. They believe God controls everything. Then you may as well not live. How could you get up in the morning and live if you believed you had no free will? If you believe God controlled everything you did and everything that happened to you, then what's the point of living? Then you're not living. You're an automaton. I happen not to believe that. I never believed that. I always knew I had free will to do anything I wanted, good, bad, and indifferent. I knew it was all up to me. Remember I quoted Shakespeare something, things happen to us along the way. We learn from things we hear in school, from the gutter, from a parent, from a doctor, from a minister, from a rabbi, from a dentist, whatever, a doctor. So we're all influenced when we're young by various, you know, statements and events that happen to us. And I remember in high school, I was sitting dozing off, looking at the girls' braids in front of me. I didn't want to listen to any of the speeches. I just was interested in how the braids looked. I found them far more organized and orderly than the principal himself. And then suddenly he said something. He said, Shakespeare wrote, some men are born great, some men achieve greatness, and others have greatness foisted upon them. I knew at that moment that I was not born great. I knew that I'd never have greatness foisted upon me, and I knew that if I ever achieved anything at all, whether it's great or not, it would have to be done by me. Nobody was going to give it to me. Now you look at Obama. Which of those three is his? He had greatness foisted upon him. He was hand-picked. He was selected from very early on by very powerful forces, in my estimation, almost like a secret candidate, going all the way back to when they first found him. And he had greatness foisted upon him. I'm not underestimating his intelligence, don't get me wrong, but he didn't get here because of his genius. He didn't get here just because he's the brightest man on the planet. So it goes back to whether or not we have free will. Is free will an illusion? Do you believe you have free will? Because the scientists, as I say, at the Center for Mind and Brain at the University of California, Davis, say that free will may actually be the result of electrical activity in the brain. And they did an experiment, blah, blah, blah. You can do any kind of experiment and load it up any way you want when it's this type of psychology, because psychological experiments are basically not controlled experiments. Therefore, they're not valid. They're as much science as the fake science on global warming. You can make the results, you know, any way you want it to be. But there are many religious people who believe God is omnipotent. I don't. I don't believe God's omnipotent. I've told you that, because if I did, I would hate God. If I thought God controlled everything that happened on the earth, I wouldn't ever believe in God. I wouldn't want to believe in such a monster. I'm going to believe God makes babies get leukemia. I'm going to believe God wants a baby to have cancer. I believe God wanted my brother to be born unable to see and to walk. No, I don't believe that. I think it just happened. Things happen. I don't believe God did that to him or does that to other children. I save my compassion for children who are sick, by the way, because they're the most unprotected of all of us in terms of kids who need help. and I don't want to give it to people from Guatemala and Honduras. I'd rather give it to American children. There's only a finite amount of resources to go around. We can't help the whole world, and we can't be the world's police force. So you have to draw the line somewhere. You know, charity begins at home, Mr. Obama. And by the way, if you care so much about the children of Honduras and Guatemala, why don't you stop taking your vacations? Why don't you say, Michelle and I are not going to Martha's Vineyard this summer. Instead, we're going to go work in a child's refugee center in the Honduras. We're going to make baby formula along with the Border Patrol. Then we'll believe a word that comes out of your mouth. But no, that's not going to happen. So I could say we could have this discussion on free will. That's one topic that I want to talk about on this Monday. It's better than talking about all of this other, you know, stuff. And I want to read you an email that my guy sent me. I told you I get some brilliant listeners, and I occasionally have them email us. So I got this one, and I want you to listen to it. It's a little complex. It said, Dear Dr. Savage, here's a question for you. If in the space within us, between our cells and molecules, and the space within molecules, between neutrons and electrons, and within the space within those, if all that space is connected to all other space within and outside of other beings, within and outside of our planet's atmosphere, etc., isn't the universe one mass more than it is consisting of separate entities, just as we consider our own body more one mass than many smaller separate pieces, such as cells and molecules, even though it is really mainly just space containing energy? Now, that's quite a question, isn't it? Now, since I... Well, let me just read you my answer instead of categorizing what I said. I sent this as an answer from Michael Savage. I said, this is a question for theologians and physicists. I said, we're all one has been said before, but are we really? Then why does the big fish eat the little fish? Why do the Sunni hate the Shiite, the Protestant, the Catholic, and the Muslim, the Jew? Is it ignorance of the we are one idea, or is it because there is no interconnectivity? I wrote the following. I said, sure, on a strictly molecular level, you could argue the entire universe is one super gigantic being, and we are mere protons in the giant's lungs or kidneys. But on a human level, we are all separate universes to never touch each other. That's what I wrote. See, I wrote, in a sense, I think I'm an existentialist by having written that. My analysis of what I just wrote is that sort of existentialism is that we're never connected to anybody, never connected to anything, except for very brief, infinitesimal moments. Can a person be connected to another person? I would say, and I'm not trying to be facetious about it, I would say that when a person makes love to another person and they have an orgasm at the same moment, they are one. They become a single entity at that moment, which is why sex is such a strong drive. You see, we all feel this aloneness all the time. We're all alone. We're all lonely. We're all craving completeness, and we can't find it. Yeah, we know we buy things. We get our hair done. We get our nails done. We buy cars. We buy things, we go on vacations, but we're always alone, and we feel it. We're separate. And so the power of sex is such that you can laugh at it if you want, and you make it lewd if you want. You can make it into a child's answer if you want. You can snicker if you want. But you can also understand that on a human level, it's about the one area where people can become part of something bigger than themselves, right? And I said, but we're really condemned to never touch each other. So then the emailer writes back, well, what if the space between is where the knowledge of God is contained? So that is why we can know others' thoughts or have remote viewing. Or is where there is no space and time as with God, all is there? I didn't answer that one because I couldn't talk about it. And then later, hours later, the emailer wrote, the space between is omnipresent. And I'm only calling it space because I don't have a better word. But what I'm suggesting is that it is not really space, not really emptiness. Since it is constant, maybe it is more real than these temporary structures we call tangible, such as molecular structures, substances, or our own bodies. What we really consider to be ourselves is our consciousness anyway, and where does that exist? It is intangible. Now, I realize that you don't hear this kind of stuff on talk radio, but I live in this world of ideas. And that's why I'd rather talk about free will than Joseph Biden's overbite or Barry Obama's manipulations at this point, because I can only do so much with this. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. know if I even want to do politics. I think I got it out of my system already. Champion for America's borders, language, and culture before the communists took over everything and destroyed our borders, language, and culture. Now what am I supposed to do? Listen to Boehner? He sounded like someone pushed him out on the stage, like a stage mother, told him to go give the speech. I'm going to do it. Did you hear him the other day? It was pathetic.
I'm going to stop the imperial, and I'm going to serve the president.
He's like reading a script. It was sad. We have that one. Listen to this. It's sad. It's pathetic. Listen to Boehner.
The Constitution makes it clear that a president's job is to faithfully execute the laws. In my view, the president has not faithfully executed the laws.
He really has passion. There's real fire in his belly after he knocks down another straight shot. That's when the fire hits the belly. Goes in the cloakroom and takes another swig of Four Roses, and there's real fire in the belly. Someone pushed him out there. It's, look, John, the people are screaming. What? What? The people. Who? Who? What people? I don't see any people. No. The people out there, they want the Republican Party to do something, huh? Oh, no, I have to give a speech now against Obama? I'm afraid of him. I don't want to give a speech. He scares me. He looks at me with those eyes. I get frightened. You have to do it. I don't want to do it. Look, I'm doing well. I'm retiring soon. I have the condo in Jacksonville. I got a nice pension, Mary and I and the grandchildren. You're going to have to give the speech. I don't want to give the speech. John, you have to give a speech about a letter, something. Throw them something. They're screaming for impeachment, John. Impeachment? What impeachment? I'm not moving to Georgia. I don't like peaches. No, impeachment. 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 No impeachment. No, not impeachment, John. You're not going to give a speech on impeachment. You're only going to give a little talk on a lawsuit. I don't want to sue him. I like the guy. I get along with him. Man. Had me in the White House. He let me in the White House a few times. Yeah. No, you have to. And that's what it sounded like to me, like the reluctant Speaker of the House. Can't the Republicans move him aside, give him early retirement? Can't they put someone in like Mr. Gowdy from Texas? Can't they put in somebody with fire in his belly who knows what he's talking about and willing to stand up for borders, language, and culture? I mean, John Boehner, please, is not a leader. We know that. I mean, just John Boehner bashing is not the object of the show.
Savage.
No, Obama's such a liar that he doesn't even understand that everyone knows he's a liar. Did you hear what I just said to you? I know I'm going to talk about the court says some firms may refuse to offer birth control. That's a huge, gigantic victory for the First Amendment and for freedom. For all religiously abiding individuals, and for all those who despise the yoke that Obama has put around our necks, the Supreme Court ruling has opened the door to rejecting Obamacare and many other of his power grabs, by the way. And I'll explain that to you. Justice Ginsburg's blistering Hobby Lobby dissent, companies can now opt out of any law. She's 100% right. You see, one thing you gotta understand, Justice Ginsburg was never qualified to be on the Supreme Court, ever. She was the lawyer for the ACLU, the chief attorney for the Anti-Christian Liberty Union. And yet she was put on the Supreme Court. So everything she has done since, in my opinion, is illegitimate. Okay, that's one man's opinion. It would be as though we had a radical right-wing president who put someone from the Ku Klux Klan on the Supreme Court who had been there for 20 years writing racist laws. It's the exact opposite of that, which means it's exactly the same thing. So now she's complaining that the Hobby Lobby dissent means a company can now opt out of any law. She's right. The gates are now open to any exemption from Obamacare based on religious belief. I agree with the radical leftist Justice Ginsburg, where she says companies can now opt out of any law. Thank you, Justice Ginsburg. You're 100% right. Companies can now opt out of any law, Justice Ginsburg. Mainly the laws that you and your cohorts wrote over the last 20 years that have destroyed America, Justice Ginsburg. That's one topic. There are many others. On behalf of all Americans, Obama hailed Ramadan. That's right, he hailed Ramadan while ISIS is cutting off heads and creating a new caliphate in the Middle East, which includes Europe on their map. He's extending his best wishes to Muslim communities here in the United States and around the world in the beginning of the blessed month of Ramadan. This is while churches are being blown up, people are being assassinated, and their heads cut off. Our president, Many think, by the way, that I got to stop right there because this is a national show. I'll stop right at that point. I'll stop right there. So he concludes his Ramadan salute by saying, "It will be another opportunity for me to convey America's appreciation for the contributions of Muslim Americans to our country." I think he once said they founded America. I think that he once said that the Muslims founded America. "And to wish Muslims around the world a month blessed with the joys of family, community, peace and understanding." And then he concluded with Ramadan Kareem. He had nothing to say about the Christians being beheaded and their churches burned and looted in the Middle East. Canada pulls plug on Keystone Pipeline, will send oil to Asia. Now, this is a huge story because even the unions, the Democrat-controlled unions, understood that this meant major league jobs, 20,000 construction jobs. Pipeline would have brought oil from Canada and North Dakota to refineries in the U.S. It would have extended from Alberta, Canada, to Illinois, transporting approximately 400,000 barrels of crude per day. The cost of building it would have been $1.7 billion. But our radical, leftist, out-of-touch, lunatic president rejected the plan of the Keystone Pipeline in 2011 and again in 2014. And the ridiculously out-of-touch Democrat Party, which is now held hostage by the radical green movement, suddenly said no. We're not going to build the Keystone XL pipeline, even though it made perfect sense. And the reason he didn't, you know, it's not as simple as environmentalism. I have a deep fear that he's owned by Saudi Arabia. I have a deep, deep fear. We know that Saudi Arabia didn't want the Keystone XL pipeline. Neither did any of the other hateful oil-producing nations. Christian-hating oil-producing nations certainly want to continue to hold on to their monopoly. And so they maybe they put Congress in power. I don't know. Maybe they keep some of these radical congressmen in power and senators. I don't know. So finally Canada got fed up and they pulled the plug on Keystone and they're going to send the oil to Asia. Can you believe this? They said Obama's inability to make a decision on Keystone has finally yielded a result. Canada has made the decision for him. Now, I want you to listen to Obama whining over the weekend with his big lie that no one will work with him. Listen to him again.
They don't do anything. Except block me.
Block me.
And call me names. And it can't be that much fun.
All right. Did you hear what he just said? They do nothing but block me? They've been begging him to pass the Keystone XL pipeline. He blocks everything that makes sense for business and freedom. What do you mean they block him? Who is to blame? Who is to blame for the failure of the Keystone XL pipeline? Obama, the environmentalist, or the Republican Party for not articulating this properly? Now, the big issue to me is the thousands of illegal aliens being bussed into the United States of America by La Raza, using our Border Patrol as ushers. But what goads me is not La Raza. No. I know La Raza is a brown supremacist organization. I've also known the head of La Raza went into the White House a number of years ago. I also know that La Raza's intent is to take back the southwest of the United States for Mexico. I understand that. But I will never forgive Nancy Pelosi for what she did this weekend. If I can make you understand, well, let me boil it down for you. Let me make it simple for you. Go to michaelsavage.com. Why do I take it personally? Why? Because my headline is simple. It said, after busting our borders, she rides in a gay pride parade. She's a busy gal, that Nancy Pelosi. She had the audacity to go to the border and pander to this horde of illegal aliens and drug smugglers, and Muslims, and Chinese slaves being trafficked over the border. And she had the nerve to say that we have no borders anymore. She said, this is a... Well, listen to clip four. Robert, play four. They're not going to believe this.
This is a community with a border going through it. And this crisis that some call a crisis, we have to view as an opportunity.
Now, if we had a sane country, she'd be impeached. As a sitting member of Congress, for her to go there and bust our borders, to join the illegal border jumpers, to join a foreign nation that's invading America, she would be impeached the next day. Do you understand what she did? Do you have any idea that she's not just, let's say, a radical leftist who believes that we should open the borders? She's a sitting member of Congress. She has a job to protect our borders, and she said that we have no borders. She said, this is a community with a border going through it. You know, George Orwell would be very proud of the radical left today. They redefine everything in their own terms. Listen to clip five from, again, Madam Pelosi in five.
It's about treating people with respect. What we just saw was so stunning.
Aww.
If you believe, as we do, that every child, every person has a spark of divinity in them
Can you
and is therefore
this?
Worthy of respect, what we saw in those rooms was dazzling, sparkling array of God's children worthy of respect.
Can you believe this? God's children worthy of respect. She has no respect for our nation, no respect for our traditions, no respect for our borders, no respect for our national health, no respect for our national sovereignty, no respect for our language, no respect for our culture, but she respects the children that Honduras and Guatemala are dumping on our shores. And by the way, you have to ask yourself the bigger question. What kind of mother would dump her child across Mexico unless she was a child abuser? Do you realize these children are all the products of child abuse and that the UN should actually gather them up and bring them home? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The parents who dump their children like this are committing child abuse. Well, I guess you don't care. I guess you don't care. I guess we're going to talk about the Hobby Lobby law because it really is a big deal. Obama was rebuked, basically, big time. Huge, huge, huge. Last week it was 9-0. On Saturday I was in a coffee shop with a friend of mine and the local, no, it was the USA Throw It Away, right? They had USA Throw It Away sitting there. And the headline was, President rebuked 9-0 by Supreme Court. I did a double take, and I said to my friend, oh, my God, you're kidding me. Even the communist rag, USA Throw It Away, it says that King Obama was rebuked by the Supreme Court. Well, white man turns around and looks at me with anger, like I dared say the truth. You know, it is Marin County, California, the land of the, let us say, the imbeciles. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'll write myself a letter.
It is Savage Nation, and what a day it is. I guess I'm so happy I have to sit right down and write myself a letter. Supreme Court rules against Obama. On recess appointments case. Now, on the face of it, it seems like a minor issue because in the midst of all of this, 9-0. Look, you're interested in sports. What if a sports team won a game 9-0? Well, America just won a game against an emerging dictatorship at 9-0. And I got to tell you something. A few bright rays of sunlight are coming through the dark sky that is over America. The dark sky that Obama has painted over the ceiling of America, I see a little light. Because this case is a signal to Obama. It's not so much about the case per se. You see, there's timing involved in everything. Why did the Supreme Court remind Obama that our Constitution applies to him as well? Why did the Supreme Court remind Obama that while Boehner filed a lawsuit against him to try to curtail his executive overreach, what did the Supreme Court just say with regard to that? They're saying we're going to rule in favor of Boehner. It may take years, maybe after you're out of office, if you ever leave office. But, man, you've overstepped your position. It also says, in my opinion, the Supreme Court is also saying, since he's able to nullify Congress, he's nullified the will of the American people, we're next. Supreme Court's saying we have to maintain our own authority and power over this character because he's out of control. And since he's out of control, stepped on Congress, stepped on the people, we're the last ones left. We're saying no. 9-0 now. And what's interesting here is that the opinion was written by none other than Elena Kagan. Elena Kagan is a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool liberal. You know, it's established lure. Remember that one? It's established lure, Elena Kagan. I mean, I would have thought that she would have been like 8-7-6. I cannot imagine that Elena Kagan, it's established lure, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, another left-winger, Sotomayor, the most brilliant Latina in the history of the universe. They all joined the conservatives and said no. They said that the President of the United States broke the law when he made three recess appointments to the NLRB when Congress was actually not in recess. Senate said, no, we're not in recess. Now, this is shocking, folks. All you left-wingers, you can't lie about this. It was not just by a slim margin. It was by a major, 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 major. Well, 9-0. It's also a huge blow to the unions, which you haven't heard yet or read anywhere. What you don't know is, I read the case, The unions brought the case to try to sustain the power because they wanted the Stooges on the National Labor Relations Board. The unions just took a big blow to the gut, by the way. It was a Teamsters union that was behind this NLRB appointments thing. So for anyone keeping score, it is shocking to see anyone in government stand up to this emerging dictatorship. And just as Kagan said, quote, this is not the horse and buggy era. I have new respect for you. And what I'm saying here is, what she's saying is, this law, giving a president the authority to pass a recess appointment when Congress is not in session or when the Senate is not in session, was written when there was a horse and buggy. That was before the telegraph, telephone, email. The guys had to come back by horseback to vote on things like this. And, all right, look, if it's an emergency, let the president put someone in there, right? But we don't have to do that anymore. It's not the age of the horse and buggy. That's what she's saying. So what I'm saying to you is this is a huge win for democracy. And, of course, it's, strangely enough, the Republicans used Harry Reid's own tactic to just win on this. Harry Reid's trying to spin it like, yeah, he did it for the sake of America. You have to understand that in the spirit of cooperation, I want to remind you liberals out there that pointing out the lies and corruption of Barack Obama, who is the most divisive American president in history to date, is really not a defense of George Bush. And if we're really to save this nation from a total collapse, you really have to get past that. It's Bush's fault. Today's ruling is a win for the citizens of America. It exposes Obama as a ruthless political operative who is hell-bent on getting anything he wants at the expense of our highest ideals and principles. And I don't think anything happens by chance in government. And the timing of this ruling is quite important. Because, as I said to you earlier, John Boehner started saber-rattling about his lawsuit against the president's many abuses of power. And I think Congress and the Supreme Court are, in fact, awakening to what a lawless president really, you know, entails. They fear for their own heads. They have finally decided to circle their wagons, to reel in this administration, to reel in Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. So Hillary's big speech where she said they were dead broke, they came out of the broke thing, it really is amazing in the sense that she makes about $200,000 and up for each speech. She got about a $12 million advance. And they're doing good. They came to Washington to do well, and they did very good. And they did very well indeed, like the missionaries in Hawaii who wound up owning most of the land. Bill Clinton raked in an eye-popping $104 million for giving 542 speeches between January of 2001 and January of 2013. I don't blame him. In just 1 week in May of 2012, Bill Clinton pocketed $1.4 million, 1 week, after speaking to businessmen and politicos in Switzerland, Denmark, Austria, and Spain. And half his money came from speeches in China, Japan, and the UK. He was the president. Why not? You're supposed to go to Washington to do good and do very well indeed. Why would anyone do it otherwise? Skybridge Capital founder Anthony Scaramucci raved about Clinton's appearance, which cost the investment firm $175,000 in Las Vegas in 2010. Scaramucci said he's a stud. There was nobody at the Bellagio Casino Cabana sunning himself when President Clinton was in the ballroom speaking. All right, well, there's your answer. He's a big crowd pleaser. He's a crowd pleaser. Big crowd pleaser. Very big crowd pleaser. Hillary Clinton claimed early this month that the first couple were dead broke and earning owing legal debts when Bill left the White House. Despite their $400,000 income and Bill's $8 million book advance in 2001. So she went on the road and said that they were broke. Now she backtracked and she said, oh, no. Oh, she and Bill were obviously blessed. Whenever someone says we were blessed, you know that they're... You know that phrase came out of the Christian right, the whole thing, blessed thing. Oh, yes, we've been very blessed. You morons, you little peons. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. We'll be right back.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I used to drive up to Lake Tahoe. I haven't done it in a long time. I used to like coming down off the high mountains. And they used to have truck cutouts where, if your truck lost its brakes, you pull it over into a sandbank. That's what I feel like the show. I feel like it's like a runaway truck sometimes because I get so agitated by what this government is doing to this country. They are so disconnected from reality. They are so destructive of everything that is right. And so in the favor of everything is wrong that it's hard to not get excited. And they own the media. And there's no real opposition party. Now look at Rand Paul. Every day the guy looks more and more like a Democrat. Every speech he gives, Republicans are too quick to want to fight. Every day Rand Paul is showing himself to be the shrimp boat that I always knew he was. I never trusted him. I liked his father better than him. I know many of you jumped on the Rand Paul bandwagon, put an X through him. He's like a melted Carvel that was left in the August sun. Him and Rubio, I mean, you know, they're not electable. Hillary will just crush them. Are you imagining that any of these two guys could defeat Hillary Clinton? Impossible. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. What would you like to say on the Savage Nation? I'm going to play some songs today. I'm going to give you the news as we go along. I'll work in some history, like the barbarians breaking the Roman Empire into East and West in the 3rd century, and try to tell you what's going on in America now historically. And you'll see exactly what's happening. But you see, the difference was in those days, the barbarians broke into the empire. The Roman emperor didn't invite them in and give them diapers. The Roman emperor's wife didn't go down there and kiss the barbarians on the cheek. I'm not comparing what's going on to the Visigoths or the Vandals or the Goths. I'm not comparing the East Goths or the Ostrogoths. I'm not comparing them to the Mongolian people. I'm not comparing them to the Huns. But there is a historic parallel between what happened to the ancient Roman Empire and what's happening to this empire, the American Empire. And if you looked at a map of Europe in the 3rd century, you'll see the peculiar weakness of that empire. And if you look at the map of America in this century, you'll see the weakness of this empire, especially when you have an enemy within who has burst our borders like a cell that's exploding. You know, as a trained biologist, forget trained biologist, as a basic student of biology, you don't have to have gone past the 7th grade to know that every cell has a cell membrane or a cell wall. The definition of a cell, or a cell, is defined initially by its perimeters. So if it's an animal cell, it's defined by the cell membrane. You remember that from high school. If it's a plant cell, it's by a cell wall. And once the cell wall or cell membrane is punctured, all of the protoplasm oozes out of the cell. The cell disintegrates and it has no form, no shape, no identity. Obama has taken a truck and driven it through the border. And he's letting not only our identity ooze out, but he's bringing in a new identity to America. A new identity. Now, if you're okay with America becoming the drug-infested, crime-ridden Honduras, God bless you. If you've always wanted to live in a crime-infested, drug gang-ruled nation, you're in good shape here. I always loved America. I always liked the idea that it was a safe haven from these people. I felt protected by my police. I felt protected by my government. I felt protected by my FBI. I felt protected by my CIA. I don't feel that anymore. I feel they've turned against the America itself. America itself. Am I wrong in my perception? Tell me how I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where my thinking is wrong. I implore you to show me where I'm wrong. No, not one call. They won't, because they can't. They can't do it. I'm actually appealing to the centrist Democrats out there to stop this administration, this rogue administration, before they kill the country. I'm begging you to step in and stop this this cadre. All right, I made my point. That's all. Last night I went to a mall nearby. I went to all-you-can-eat spaghetti dinner. Shouldn't have done it. I knew it. But I was so worked up from the show, I violated my diet again. All-you-can-eat spaghetti, $10 a plate. I only ate one plate because I started with a pizza. I had to order in advance. I was so frustrated from the politics. The food was horrendous, but I knew it would be horrendous. What do you expect for $10? And to top it off, I had to add two meatballs to the dinner. So I violated my lipid profile. I violated my nutritional profile. It was okay. It wasn't that good. The beer, I got a headache from it all. Too many carbs. I'm walking out of the mall spaghetti joint, and a guy stops me who started to talk. A local person I know. I won't mention his name. I didn't know if he was friend or foe. I didn't recognize him. Put on a lot of weight. Hello, Savage. How are you and Teddy? Heavy set fellow. I looked carefully. It was like a combination of Orson Welles and someone. I didn't know whether he was a friend or a foe. I didn't know it was going to be a gun or a kiss. I didn't know what it would be. So I'm wary. I didn't know who he was. You ever run into someone that you don't know who they are, then you do? As they start to talk, how are you? Then they pull out the gun. No, but turned out to be a friend, and he's just back from Austria, where his grandparents live. He was there for months. And he said to me, you know that you have a huge following in Austria? I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, yeah. He said, they gather around the internet, and they listen to your show in Austria. I said, that's nice. That's great. So I have a following here, a following there, here a following, there a following, everywhere a following, following, following. And I'm saying, great, I'm glad there are people who are awake and alert to what's going on to Western civilization, wherever they may be, Austria, Germany, Sweden, France, England. They understand what the elites are doing to the West. They understand that they're the Indian chiefs who sold out the Indians for some wampum and some booze. They understand that the Native Americans were sold down the river by their own chiefs for a few guns and a few bottles of booze. We are the equivalent of the Indians who are being sold out by our Indian chiefs for personal gain. You say, well, Obama's not gaining by it. No, him, maybe him not personally, but all those around him are. They're raking it in. Raking it in. I have another friend who's in Washington, D.C. right now. He told me he's never seen such affluence in his entire life. He's never seen such a fervor of young people running around Washington, D.C. boasting about on their cell phones. All right, $92 million. All right, $132 million. Okay, he said they're all bureaucrats talking about how much money they're spending in appropriations. Your money. No, it's $32 million. All right, knock it up for $32.5. Okay, mark it up for $32.9. No, $43.5. $43.5. Screaming in the streets with their Brooks Brothers suits, with their muscles bulging through their suits. The girls running around in dresses without underwear. $93 million. No. I just did $94 million. But it's not even their money. These are the punks and punkesses who run the government. These are the aides to the psychos called senators and congressmen. Spending your money as though they're doing something. It's not their money to spend. He said it's like a Tower of Babel. It's out of control. Girls with dresses without underwear. Guys in suits showing their muscles bursting through the legs of the skinny suits. And all they do is scream about money in the streets. I'm just giving you reports from the streets. That's all. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I love this music, this tribal music. You know, my first published book was called Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, and I spent years worshiping, not just studying, but worshiping various and sundry Native American tribal customs and uses of plants for food and medicine. So I see a story like this that just came out. Your hair will stand up. You're never going to believe what I'm about to say to you. You heard about the Washington Redskins name change? That stupidity, right? Well, now a lunatic named, I'll read you his name in a minute, Simon Waxman of the Boston Review was attacking the names of the Apache Chinook helicopters as racist. I swear to God. A lunatic, loser, psychotic, in my opinion, writes an op-ed in the Washington Post which charged that the Apache, Comanche, Chinook, Lakota, Cheyenne, and Kiowa military vehicles were a greater symbolic injustice than the NFL's Washington Redskins name. Simon Waxman? You know, Simon, listen to me. Simon, I'm going to make it very personal. Simon, your last name Waxman indicates to me that in the not too distant past, some of your ancestors were oppressed in a foreign country. And they came to America for salvation and peace. And Simon, let me make it even more clear. Was it not for the U.S. military, you and millions of others would have been lampshades or a bar of soap. How in the world can you get up and attack the U.S. military like this in the most devious, underhanded manner imaginable? The psycho Simon Waxman of the so-called Boston Review, published in the Washington Post, adds that the helicopter names were propaganda that needed to end because Native American life expectancy statistics indicate the violence is ongoing even if the guns are silent. I never heard anything like this. I think this man is a mentally ill person. The American Indians are probably proud of the fact that their tribal names are used on our greatest military helicopters. But these left-wing psychotic drug addicts, these guilt-ridden psychotics raised by sick parents, mentally ill liberal parents, white psychotics who would be bars of soap if it were not for the U.S. military, raised by sick parents, they get this is all they write about? They take their vitriol out on the name of a helicopter, not on those cutting off heads in the Sunni triangle? Sick! Years ago, I wrote a book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. So the names that the military chooses for weapons platforms are derogatory to this psychotic. And he's a psychotic by all definition. In my opinion, Simon Waxman is a mentally disordered individual, which is, of course, why his op-ed made it to the Washington Post. If I were a Native American, I'd be proud of the fact that some of our top weapons are named for my, you know, my people, Apaches. Wouldn't you like to have a helicopter named, let's say, the Levi's or the Strausses or something like that? I mean, named for the five tribes of Moses. Apache, Comanche, Chinook, Lakota, Cheyenne, and Kiowa. Because they were proud warrior peoples. So you'd be very proud of that. How do you turn that into derogatory? If you are a sick individual who's raised by liberal parents who were sick themselves, in other words, it goes back several generations, then therefore everything you conclude is wrong. What can I say to you? I never saw anything like this. This is not a story that I made up. I haven't heard of an American Indian who's offended by a Chinook helicopter name. It's psychotic, guilt-ridden white liberals. Instead of saving their geniuses, their brilliant minds, their great genius minds, to attack Islamo-fascism, they attack the name of a U.S. military helicopter. This is how far the country has fallen, of to be or not to be. I don't know whether I despise going on the radio more than I despise being off the radio, because the news is so horrible. When did you ever think you'd be reading about Mosul again? Mosul. I thought Mosul was over when our boys took Mosul in the Sunni Triangle, when we said, don't you remember what I said in 2002 about those animals in the Sunni Triangle? You don't remember? You think you're going to reason with the animals in the Sunni Triangle? They've been killing people for 1,000 years or more. You're going to have them join a coalition with the people they've been killing for 1,000 years? Are you out of your mind? They're executing prisoners like the Nazis did, and the UN yawns and does nothing and goes out and buys the hookers that they do on the Upper East Side. Don't get me started on the UN. I would turn it into homeless housing. I throw everybody out of the UN. I give them 24 hours to clear out their desks, and I put homeless people in the UN building for as good as they do. Why are they in there? What are they doing for the people being executed in Iraq? Answer, nothing. Nothing. All they do is spend money and run around. So there's a lot of problem in there, problems right now. And now you have Hillary Clinton, who wants to be president. I'm not going to sit here and bash Hillary. You'd expect me to do that. But I don't believe that this Klein book has any validity whatsoever. That she has a heart condition and this and that. Now, she made a big mistake. She gave an interview with the Guardian newspaper in London, and she was talking about wealth. And she said, we're really not rich, her and her husband. She said, Bill and I aren't truly well off compared to really well off people, not to name names. And we've done it through dint of hard work. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he's worth over $100 million. She makes $5 million a year, allegedly. Her book advance was 10 or 5. And she says, we're not really that rich because we pay ordinary income tax, unlike a lot of people who are truly well off, not to name names. Well, they're the people that they hang around with. When have you last seen them hang around with a homeless person? Does Bill fly around on a homeless person's push cart that I don't know about? No, Bill flies around on a billionaire's jet, as I would do if I were Bill Clinton. I wouldn't want to be pushed around Manhattan on a rickshaw, would you? And hang out with a homeless person who has lice, would you? No, so it's logical. He's former president. She hangs around with billionaires. What would you do, idiot? So what is she pretending? See, I don't understand this. If I were running for office, I would tell him I'm rich. And the reason I'd say I'm rich is because I'm wealthy, you don't have to worry about me robbing the till. The people you really have to worry about are those who are poor, because once they become leaders, they rob you. If a man goes into office and he has wealth already, there's less to worry about. At least that's how I see it. So I don't think that's a negative that she's hiding her wealth. So there it is. That's, I don't understand this. First of all, I don't think she's electable, if you want to talk about Hillary Clinton. A, why? I keep saying it. I don't want to be misogynist or mistaken for a misogynist, just as ISIS is mistaken for Daryl Issa. You know, I don't understand that either. Every other day, there's another play on the word ISS, ISS, International Space Station, ISA, ISIS. How did the Islamofascists suddenly get a nice new acronym called ISIS? Who created that? Christiane Amanpour? Did she give them a nice new acronym? Like vanilla, like the rainbow flag? I mean, what is she trying to do here? She put a nice acronym around the most bloodthirsty murderers on the planet? The whole thing is crazy. I don't blame people for not caring about the news. I really don't, to be honest with you. It's hard to keep up with it. And then as far as trusting the news, one day aspirins are going to prevent heart attacks, the next day they do nothing. One day cholesterol is bad for you, the next day it's an essential nutrient for creating subcomponents. One day vitamins are good, the next day the vitamins are bad. So people are very confused. All I know is this. We have a border with Mexico that Obama erased. We have tens of thousands of illegal aliens and their children pouring over the border, who are being treated better than the American citizens are being treated, being given better medical care than the veterans are being given. And instead of spending money and flying them all over America, why don't you, for the same money, fly them back to Guatemala or Honduras? Why is our government dumping them on cities across America? There's only one reason for that, and there's only one answer to that. Because they want to. Because they want to change the demographics of white, working-class communities, which will become unsustainable third world cities.
Savage.
You're living through remarkable times where the Supreme Court is rebuking the rogue president almost weekly now. Last week it was 9-0. Over his overreach. Today, it's the rule that required Christians to fund abortion-inducing drugs and chemicals for employees. They didn't want to do it. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court. This is a huge win for people of religious conscience. And a stern slap in the wrist for Obama and his radical leftist cohorts like Kathleen Sebelius, who overstepped their authority and told people, you know, we'll do what we want. Now, Obama is going to do it again and again and again. And the people are going to revolt at some point. There's going to be something that provokes an something's going to happen. There's only so much that people can take of a madman. And I do believe this is no longer, I don't even believe this is a man who has a rational purpose in what he's doing other than a malicious purpose. Let me redefine what I just said. I don't even think he cares that much about these things. I think he cares more about being malicious. I think this is the mark of a power mad man rather than it is about even an ideologue. Because even a left-wing ideologue is still a politician who needs the people to back him, and he needs the other party to work with. And even a smart left-wing ideologue will seek compromise to get his agenda through. That's the nature of a democracy. But when you have a malicious president who simply gets off on doing what he wants, no matter what anyone says, in fact, gets off on doing it because they don't like it, because the people hate it, because the people are gagging on it, because the people can't take it anymore, you have to say to yourself, who is this man? Why is he doing this? It's not because it's his agenda. It's because he likes defying the people. He enjoys it. And this is the danger we're in, because where does this end? He's got years left, he's young, and he's strong. Now it gets rebuked on the religious freedom thing. And it's a big deal. Now we have the borders being punctured by Obama. This has been proven over and over again. For those of you who've read the paperwork, back in January, DHS and HHS were giving out RFPs, request for proposals, to feed and house these 90, 100,000, 200,000 illegal aliens. They planned the whole thing. You talk about the IRS emails. What a joke that is. What a dirty joke that is. She can't find her emails and there's no servers around to be searched. Hey, the next time you have to pay your taxes, why don't you tell the IRS you lost your paperwork and your computer crashed so you destroyed the hard drive? See what they say to you. See how long that would work. They tell you, well, we can get it from your server. Well, you can get the IRS emails from Lower Than Us Learner. Lower Than Us Learner is going to jail. Lower Than Us Learner is hiding. Lower Than Us Learner is the worst sort of bureaucrat. Lower Than Us Learner belonged in the ex-Soviet Union. Lower Than Us Learner should be found out for what she is and put in prison for violating the law. She targeted individuals based on their politics. That is so anti-American. It's against everything this country stands for. And yet Lower Than Us Learner said that her, oh, the computer crashed. Okay, we'll get it off the hard drive. Sorry, we destroyed the hard drive. Well, okay, so go to the server. We don't know who the servers are. You must be joking. Now, at the same time, we read that the FBI is reviewing 80,000 emails of Rupert Murdoch of Fox News in order to crucify him while they're blackmailing him politically. Now, if they can get the 80,000 emails from Murdoch off his servers, which is where they got him, why can't they get her emails off servers, the same FBI? Okay, I'll let you figure that one out. But I'll put it another way. Again, when the tax time comes around and you say, oh, I lost my paperwork, I don't have the receipts, I don't know where the papers went, my computer crashed and we destroyed the hard drive, see what will happen to you. See what they tell you. So that's why I say we have a rogue presidency. This is not an imperial presidency. Totally different. Watch your definitions. An imperial presidency implies certain things. A rogue presidency implies others. It's my definition. Steal it if you will. Steal this idea. I know you will anyway. Steal this idea. I know you will anyway. Ideas fly off me like sparks flying off a sharpening wheel. All day long, sparks fly off my mind. I was gifted at birth with a very creative mind. And I bring it to you every day on the radio. And I'm telling you, I am paid as a member of the class that studies these things to tell you we have a rogue presidency. That's what I'm telling you. It's one man's opinion. What are you getting so excited, Mike? Summer. Summertime. The living is easy, Mike. Why don't you take a chill pill, Mike? Why don't you go on vacation, Mike? Why don't you get a canoe, Mike? Why don't you get a kayak, Mike? Why don't you get a fishing rod, Mike? Why don't you go on a hike, Mike? Why don't you go out the back, Jack? Well, that's not my nature. This is my nature. How could ISIS, so-called, notice they gave this most vicious Nazi terrorist group in history a new name. Notice they came up with a new sort of friendly acronym overnight. Who came up with ISIS? Who invented it? Who invented the name ISIS? What does that mean? That's because you say ice, it seems good. Icicles, ice cream. It has good connotations, ISIS. How often have you heard ISIS, bloodthirsty, cutting off heads, blowing up churches? You don't see that. All you see from the idiots in the press is the advancement of ISIS. ISIS, ISIS this, ISIS that. Well, how did this happen so quickly? How in the world did they gain so much territory so quickly? You want to study this? You can study this. All you got to do is look at what Obama did, and you can put two and three together and come up with 17. That's right. He pulled the troops out, and suddenly they popped up, and they're so vicious. They're so vicious that even Al-Qaeda is afraid of them. And yet these are the same people that were fighting Assad in Syria that McCain has been calling for weapons for a year now. Old dummy McCain. Old McCain, the warmonger. The warmonger was saying we should fund the rebels in Syria. Well, these are the rebels in Syria. We should give them weapons. Well, we didn't, at least not overtly. We gave them weapons covertly, according to many sources. But now they have tanks, which they seized out of Iraq and Humvees. So McCain got what he wanted without having to send them over. Think about that. In many ways, it's a very green way of delivering lethal weapons to Islamists. You just let them steal them from America after you leave them behind on the battlefield. So why did we leave the battlefield? Why didn't we leave a contingency force of 50,000 men? Why were 50,000 men not left there to protect the institutions of government? We're still in Germany. The Nazis lost World War II in 1945. We're still in Germany. Why? Because there's always a fear that the Nazis could come back. We still have a true presence in Germany. Did you know that? The war's been over since 1945, and we're still there. But in Iraq, he pulled everyone out. Do you know what he just did by sending in 300 American troops? He sent in 300 hostages. How in the world can you send 300 men into a nation surrounded by bloodthirsty headcutters who are blowing up churches and killing men, women, and children and expect our 300 men to hold them off unless you want them to be captured? Okay, look, now it's too much for me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm blowing up from it. The rogue presidency is reaching a crescendo. It can't go on much longer. The rogue presidency cannot do any much more damage, and yet it will. The border crisis is the key to it all. And when I see Nancy Pelosi going to the border and saying what she said, I was livid with anger. And my headline on my website is Pelosi commits sedition. She said the border's erased, we're all Americans. It's a community, she said, with a border running through it. Do you know what she just said? There is no border. A sane nation would impeach any member of Congress who does a thing like this. We don't have a sane nation. We have an insane nation. We have evidence that the Chinese are trafficking teens over the U.S. border, mixed in with the Hondurans and Guatemalan children as slave labor. Chinese teens being sent across America as slave labor. China's sending them in. So how many Islamists are coming in on the border? How many? You don't know. And you know, Nancy goes there and says, oh, it's a divinity, a spark of divinity. Oh, God, I don't know how I take it. Honestly, don't know how I take it. Every day I got to look at this. I feel like an oncologist who's been studying a cancer patient, trying to not cure the cancer, but control the cancer, and the cancer is now out of control. The cancer has metastasized. The cancer of liberalism has so metastasized through the body politic that it's tempting for me to just give it up and walk away from it and say the patient's dead. That's all. I feel like giving up and saying the patient is dead. Liberals killed America. ISIS declares creation of Islamic State for the Muslims everywhere. I want you to take a look at the map they drew. Go look at michaelsavage.com. If you think they're kidding, they show the entire continent of Africa, all of Arabia, all of Turkey. They show Spain. They show the Balkan states. And they show Russia in their state of the new Islamic nation for the Muslims everywhere. Now, what kind of people would not understand how dangerous they are and how amazing this is that in a short period of time, this unknown group can take over so much territory? They certainly didn't conquer Spain and, of course, Europe, nor Turkey, yet, period. But they could. What's to stop them? Palestinians kidnapped three young Israeli boys 2 weeks ago. The gentle, loving, peace-loving Palestinians kidnapped these three Israeli boys. They were found butchered, hidden under rocks in the West Bank. I blame their deaths on you liberals. All you Jew-hating liberals have the deaths of these boys on your conscience. But it means nothing to you because you have no conscience. If you had a conscience, you wouldn't be a leftist to begin with. Not at all. Three boys kidnapped, tortured, butchered, and thrown under rocks in the West Bank by your Palestinians. So there's a lot more to be said. And I'm not the one to say it all. I'm just going to say as much as I feel I can say at any one time. It's only a radio show. I have no power whatsoever. I am just simply a member of the unelected commentary crowd. I'm a commentator. I'm one man's opinion. That's all it is. I have no power. I don't have any worry. Who represents me? There's a couple of senators I respect, two congressmen I respect. I have no representation in the state of California. It's been taken over by the radical communist left a long time ago, and they were put in largely by the votes of the illegal aliens. I can almost prove it. They don't represent the people of California because even liberal Democrats don't like Feinstein and Pelosi. They don't like them. They hate their issue of immigration. They hate it because they're smart enough to know that they're going to drive them out of their own state. Not directly, not going to come in and take their houses away, but the social services that are required for the illegal aliens will drive even the liberal out of his own house. They understand that. The liberal's not stupid. The rational liberal understands there's only a certain amount of money to go around. Who's going to pay for these 200,000, 20 million, 60 million illegal aliens and all of their families? Who's going to pay for them? They will. Higher property taxes. The hospitals will be inundated. The schools will be destroyed and decimated. Who's going to pay for it? They will. So a lot of these libs live in houses they bought in the 70s and 80s. They have no mortgage. They pay very low taxes because of the proposition that Prop 13. They're living on a reverse mortgage and Social Security. And they understand that even their reverse mortgage and social security payments have a limitation. And they can't stand Pelosi's pandering to the third world. They can't stand Feinstein. They can't stand Boxer. They can't stand the entire Democrat machine. You don't understand this. I do. I live here. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Cleftones. They are salubrious today, the Cleftones. The world's on fire. The Islamo-fascists are on the march. They're cutting off heads. They're executing prisoners. Tens of thousands of Obama's children from Central America are being ushered and flown into the United States instead of being flown back to their country of origin. The IRS criminals are playing stone gangsters on the lost emails. Obama's five Gitmo terrorists are enjoying Sundays in Qatar. I turn on Schlepp Smith and he's not covering any of it. You go to the New York Post, it's shocking. I don't know how he gets away with this. How does a man ruin a newspaper like this? I used to like the Post. It was always, you know, Italian police solve 105-year-old NYPD mob detective's murder. This is what Murdoch chooses to put on the front page while the world is being overrun by Islamo-Nazis and Central American border jumpers. The IRS is committing La Cosa Nostra-like crimes with the emails. I mean, come on. If a gangster said he didn't have the emails, they'd put him in contempt of Congress. You don't care about it. I know that. I get it. That's why the ratings are down everywhere except on my show and some selected markets here and there occasionally. That's a long sentence. People are turning off the news. You look at the ratings on the news shows, and people are not watching it. You know, if you were to turn the clock back 10 years, soccer was a minor sport in America. Minor. We used to laugh at South Americans in Uruguay as being brainwashed peons who were distracted by soccer. Now you wake up, the whole nation's distracted by soccer. I could care less about the World Cup. What do I care about a ball being kicked around in Brazil when my border's been kicked in by Obama? What do I care about a ball being kicked around in Brazil when the Islamo-Nazis are murdering people, executing them in a way we haven't seen since Hitler's Germany? Why should I care about a ball being kicked around in Brazil when you got IRS gangsters acting like they're a member of an organized crime family? That's the end of the show. I'm through now. Good night and good luck. Thanks for listening. Those are my headlines. I think one day I'm going to do the Savage Minute nationally when I retire. So numerous, which is, of course, what Saul Alinsky Axelrod has in mind for us. I mean, Saul Alinsky Axelrod knows what he's doing. If you keep hitting them with one scandal after another, they get exhausted. And even the most ardent and intelligent of the electorate will watch soccer. That's what Saul Alinsky Axelrod figured out for Obama, whose ratings now are lower than that of Jimmy Carter, incidentally, according to the latest UPI poll. Not that it matters, because it doesn't matter. If he's above the law, what does he care? So let me tell you why I'm off base. I get up, I can't focus. I don't know what it is. It's too much. The Hillary book tour. Again, the book by this guy Klein. I don't know who he is. Eine kleine Nachtmusik. Every day there's another Klein. This Klein, that Klein, another little man coming up. I don't believe a word in the Klein book. She has a heart condition, and Bill said this, and she said that. And I don't believe a word of it. She's as strong as iron. What with a heart condition? Where'd he come up with that one from?
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. It's just unbelievable to me, the things I work with, the things I have to do, and the duress I'm under. And I have to listen to the president lie every day, and I have to get up here like David and Goliath. taking every risk known to mankind in a civilized society, mind you. We don't live in the Middle East. We live in a civilized society, and I'm putting myself at risk every day for this country. You can laugh all you want, but that's what I'm doing. We have a very dangerous gang, a rogue gang running America, running away with our freedoms. And I declare that, no, he's not an imperial president. We don't have an imperial presidency. We have a rogue presidency. And he just proved it again. That no matter what the Supreme Court says to him, 9-0, 5-4, he says, go to hell, I'll do it my own way. I have a pen and a piece of paper. So therefore, he's a rogue president. As I told you before, an imperial president who wanted to get legislation through Congress would have to work, A, with his own party, and B, with the opposing party, but most importantly, with the American people. He'd have to get the American people on his side. When you have 10 million Americans out of work and you're bringing in 30 million illegal aliens and you're putting them ahead of the line and you're giving them $2 billion, what the hell do you think the American people are going to say? Do you think all of the out-of-work Americans want to see that money go to illegal alien children? And listen to the liar says it's good for our economy. Can anyone listening to this show tell me how two-year-olds who are going to be wards of the state are good for the economy? Can anyone tell me how illiterate mothers are good for the economy? What economy? This is no longer a laughing matter. And I'm going to ask you again, do you agree or disagree with me that he is a rogue president? Look up the word rogue. Look up in Roger's Thesaurus, something you may remember from high school. Rogue. Not an imperial president, but a rogue president. Rogue. Rascal. Knave. Dishonesty. Deception. Mischief maker. Or more so, villain. Villain. He's like a villain. This is no longer a laughing matter. We have a villain in the White House, in my opinion. You know, I could be polite about it and keep saying I disagree. What good has that done? Tell me what it's done for all the politeness that Boehner has shown. Nothing. They laugh at them. You think that him and Valerie Jarrett and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse and the others who are pulling the strings on this nation and pulling us over the cliff, do you think they give a you-know-what about what Boehner mumbles with his ice cube glass in his hand as he stumbles out of the boardroom, out of the closet there? The congressional closet, he throws another gulp down. They're laughing at the Republicans, the weak old white men. That's all they're doing, laughing at them. Weak old white men. All of them can't wait till they punch the clock and collect their pension. They can't wait to get out from the fire, from the heat. You think that Obama's stupid? You think Holder's stupid? You think they don't know they have them on the run? Of course they do. But the people still care. The people still care, and we're the majority. We're being run by a rogue administration, yes or no? That's all I'm asking. Is it a rogue administration? How can you support a president who says, I will use executive order to basically write the law? Do you understand an executive order doesn't give him the right to write a law? Do you understand the first semblance of what that means? An executive action does not permit the president to make law, only to enforce law. The only laws he can enforce about the border are enforce the border, put the border patrol back to throw them out of our country, put them on a bus and send them back to Guatemala and Honduras. Send them back. Put the army on the border. Put the National Guard on the border. Deport them all. Don't import them into the interior of America unless you have a use for them. What use might that be? Well, let's see. For several years now, many groups on the left said you cannot have voter ID laws. You're telling me these illiterate mothers are not going to go and vote come November? You're telling me that when they get such benefits, the minute they come over to America, they're not going to do what the ward leader tells them to do, as they've done in Chicago for over 100 years? Of course they're going to vote. And if anyone says, are you a citizen, they'll tell them, you racist, me sue, ACLU. They'll give them six lines. Me immigrant, you racist, me sue, ACLU. That's all they got to know. That's all they got to know. Maybe the children could vote too, the two-year-old. Maybe the two-year-old can vote also. Maybe we'll be reduced to that of Afghanistan, where all we'll need is a purple dye on our thumb to vote. That's all. The purple dye is all we need to press it on the voting pad. We become basically like a third world nation. No voter ID. Only Western nation that I know of. There are a few, by the way, who don't have voter ID laws, but they're not overrun by immigrants. Incidentally, by and large, that's true. If a nation's overrun by illegal aliens, you have voter ID laws to make sure that non-citizens are not skewing the election. Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, and everyone else in California on the Democrat left who've seized control and held it for the last 20 years. What do you think? They're loved by the people in this state? You think that the radical left in New York is loved by the people? You think people in Illinois love their elected officials? I know they don't. They hate them. They feel that they're living in a dictatorship. And the only reason that it's not a dictatorship is because the newspapers tell them that if they stand up to it, they're a racist. But it is a dictatorship, punctuated by, as I say, a little burst of freedom here and there called a vote. But if your vote's stolen from you, then you're living in a dictatorship 365 days a year. So they have good use for these illegal aliens, believe me. I'm so agitated by what's going on with Pelosi committing sedition at the border. I'm agitated. I can't wait to do the show because I don't know how else to live. What's the point of living if you're not going to stand up for what's right or wrong? What the heck is the point of living? We're just a blob of protoplasm with a pair of eyes waiting to die otherwise. Do you understand what I just said to you? Unless you stand up and act and believe in something and live for something, you're worthless. You're nothing. You're nothing but a blob of protoplasm waiting to die, waiting for the undertaker. That's why my show is a show about America's borders, language, and culture. You understand that we have a nation that's being subverted and stolen from within? Do you understand that? That it's the end of a long march of over 50 years of the long march of the communist left? Do you understand any of this? And do you understand we have only a few months left to motivate and organize the people to go out and throw the bums out come November? Because if we don't get rid of every Democrat and every left-leaning Republican come November, we are finished. We are finished. The nation will not survive. It cannot survive. You see, the foundation of the nation right now is built on a falsehood. There is no economy. We have a man who's never held a job in his life. He doesn't understand the first thing about job creation. There is no job creation. We have an economy propped up with printed money, fake money. It's not based on gold. Nixon took us off the gold standard. It's based on nothing. So he prints $3 trillion, throws it around, and he says everything is good again. And speculators run wild on Wall Street because Bill Clinton took away the Glass-Steagall Act. I wrote about that in Trickle-Up Poverty. I was the one who first wrote about the fact that Clinton took us off the Glass-Steagall Act in order to permit his gangster friends on Wall Street to rape us, financially rape us. Glass-Steagall was the death of America. I mean, removing Glass-Steagall. So is he a rogue president? Not an imperial presidency, but a rogue presidency. Yes or no? You agree with me or don't you? He's a rogue president. He's stepping out of the ken of his office. An executive action does not permit a president to write law. It's not in the Constitution. It does not permit a president to write law at all. And yet he thinks it does. And no one has stopped him. Do you agree with me that he's a rogue president? No one's used the phrase before. I realize that. So you don't know what I'm talking about. In my opinion, he's a rogue president. Acting on his own. What does that mean, acting on my own, without Congress? He's a rogue president. That's not an imperial president. He didn't say, I'll act with the Democrat Party. He said, I'll do it on my own. That's a rogue president. Then you had Pelosi, who should be impeached for going down there and says, we're saying it's a community with a border running through it. She abrogated her job as a member of Congress. She abrogated her job. She took the side of lawbreakers, not lawmakers. She should be impeached. She's out of control. She flies back from the border after giving that preposterous, seditious speech and jumps on a float in the LGBT parade here in San Francisco, rides around like a lunatic. And she thinks everybody likes her? She thinks most of the people in the state of California agree with her? Miss Pelosi, I disagree with you. I would say that most Democrats don't like what you're doing. I'd say most Democrats are sick and tired of your imperiousness. Most Democrats would like to throw you out of office along with Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. They can't understand how for 30 years you can run amok like this without any competition. It's not because they love your policies. That's right. That's what's going on. We have no representation in this country. None. Where's our representation? It seems our last hope is in the Supreme Court. 5-4. 5-4. A real squeaker. Last week it was 9-0. 9-0, and Obama the next day goes on the air and says, you know what, I'll do what I want anyway. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Here's some headline stories I'm going to... One. This is a shocker. I mean, we knew it was coming. I predicted he was being blackmailed. I said Murdoch was being blackmailed. Now, it came out, New York Daily News, FBI seized 80,000 emails from Rupert Murdoch's News Corp and phone hacking scandal. Now, what's interesting about this article is not that they're blackmailing him, which is obvious, is that all of the emails were copied from servers at News Corp's Midtown headquarters. Well, if the FBI can capture 80,000 emails from servers, surely they can capture lower-than-us learners' emails from servers. I mean, they can get the emails on servers, which we've all been saying. Anyone who knows computer technology 101 knows that lower than us learners' emails are available on servers. Yet the FBI, which is now what, the Gestapo of Obama, what is going on in our country? How did we lose the FBI, DHS, the NSA under this administration? And you think I'm overreaching when I say the emerging dictatorship? Go ahead. I don't care what you think. I have everything to lose, but what can I do? When am I supposed to come back from the edge that I'm on? How can I come back from the edge I'm on? It's too late for me to come back from the edge I'm on. I have to tell it like it is. The left is outrageously out of control. The president is a rogue president. What we have right now is a rogue presidency. Never mind imperial presidency. That was first used with Nixon. It doesn't apply. This is a rogue presidency. He's out of control in terms of his own party's politics, let alone the nation. No, this is not an imperial presidency. This is a rogue presidency. Now, I happen to agree with Hillary Clinton. I know you're shocked to hear that. I agree with Hillary Clinton. Okay, I'll read you the article, New York Post. Hillary called Obama incompetent and feckless in a boozy rant. Now, I don't know what the word feckless means exactly, but I understand sort of why she did this. Well, I'll read you the article. Hillary Clinton called President Obama, quote, incompetent and feckless, and charged that he, quote, had no hand on the tiller half the time during a boozy reunion with college pals, a new book claims. The scathing attacks came as the wine was flowing at a May 2013 dinner at a restaurant near the Clinton family home in Westchester, according to Blood Feud by best-selling author Edward Kleinemann. The former First Lady, months removed from being Obama's Secretary of State, unleashed the verbal assault between sips of vino, sources told the author, quote, when her friends asked Hillary to tell them what she thought, really thought, about the president, she had served for four draining years. She lit into Obama with a passion that surprised them all, Klein wrote. Clinton ranted, quote, the thing with Obama is that he can't be bothered and there is no hand on the tiller half the time. That, according to the book which was excerpted, quote, Obama has turned into a joke, said Hillary. Quote, the IRS targeting the Tea Party. The Justice Department seizure of AP phone records. And Fox reporter James Rosen's emails. All these scandals, Obama's allowed his hatred for his enemies to screw him the way Nixon did, she raged, the book says, adding that she called the president incompetent and feckless. The bad blood between us is just too much to overcome, said Hillary, and Bill Clinton shared his wife's loathing for Obama as the Post reported Sunday, quote, I hate that man, said Bill Clinton. I hate that man, Obama, more than any man I've ever met, more than any man who ever lived. Bill told pals, according to the book. This leads me to believe that if Hillary does become the president, there may be a silver lining. They never forget their enemies. Maybe they will go after Obama in ways you can't imagine. I mean, think about what I'm saying to you. If they can go after an 83-year-old Rupert Murdoch at this stage of his life and grab his emails from servers at News Corp's Midtown headquarters, you're telling me Obama hasn't built up a large cadre of enemies in his tenure as dictator-in-chief? Maybe Hillary is, if she wins, she could be the silver lining. She certainly has more you-know-what than the Republicans do. I mean, when you think about it, she has certainly more guts than the Republicans do. All right, that's Article 1. Here's Article 2. Student leaders ask Hillary to return outrageous $225,000 school speaking fee. Now, we realize that she's not truly well off. We realize that Hillary is not truly well off, even though her husband made over $100 million, according to, and that she made $225,000 as a speaking fee. at some student group. I don't even know where. Nevada, the University of Nevada, UNV. And so students want the money back. UNLV. The kids are paying sick tuition. They're giving illegal aliens out-of-state tuition at a break, right? And she gets $225,000 to give a speech at the school in October. I'm not going to ask you a question about it. I'm just reading your articles, one after the other. Next one. Now, you know what I think of the illegitimate left. You know that all of them are liars. There's not a leftist I've ever met in my life who's not a dirty hypocrite and a liar. Never. Not one of them believes a word they say. Here's proof. Law prof who specializes in poverty makes $205,400 teaching one class per semester. I swear to God. Now, I met this type when I was a professor. I met these type of left-wing vermin. Every one of them was the type of communist who would gladly put their opposition before a firing squad. That's how evil they were. University of North Carolina law professor's holdings included $1.5 million in real estate, blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, he attacks Republicans for their unforgivable war on poor people. Now, you know who listens to this rubbish? The poor believe him. He teaches one class per semester. And University of North Carolina law pays this professor, Gene Nickel, $205,000 a year for his one class. On top of his teaching salary, he receives a $7,500 stipend as director of the law school's Center on Poverty Work Opportunity. Wait, it gets even better. He has a wife. You see, there's always these teams of leftists. So together, the couple makes at least $612,000 a year while complaining about poverty. How's that for a story? That's right, a new Michael Savage. A quieter, milder Michael Savage. A quieter Michael Savage. Not quite Dr. Unsavage, but a quieter Michael Savage playing Leroy Anderson's The Syncopated Clock. See, when I was a little boy, I would sit and watch the early show, the late show. I'd listen to the news. There was old Walter Cronkite, Uncle Walter. I thought he was a nice man, and I thought he was telling me what was really going on in the world. It was only years later that I realized he was a crackpot and a left-wing operative. I had no idea he was feeding me communist BS from the morning in the evening news. Everything was distorted, like Uncle Joe Stalin, Walter Cronkenhaus. The day after Obama is rebuked by the Supreme Court in a 9-0 ruling, Obama had the biggest loss of his entire life, let alone career. Man's never been told no. That's why he's so out of control and so arrogant. Another guy would say, you know what, okay, let's get together here. Let's come together. I want to work with Congress. I want to work with the Republicans. Let's see if we can figure out the problem. No! He doubles down now because he's never been told no. So he gives a speech attacking again, and he said, you're not going to stop me from doing I want to do because it's gridlock, and I have a right to work around it. Listen to clip four now. Listen.
Sometimes the news that's coming off is just, these are Washington fights.
Oh,
they're fabricated issues.
Sure. All made up.
Scandals.
Yeah, right.
It's all geared towards the next election or ginning up a base.
All right, in other words, he's saying what he's doing. Everything he does is phony, and everything he does is geared toward the next election. Everything he does is to gin up the base of LGBT and illegal immigrants and government workers. So he now doubles down on his arrogance, and he says that no matter what the Supreme Court did, he didn't even mention them like they didn't exist. And then he mocks House Speaker John Boehner, makes a mockery of him, and he says the big lie again. Who told us this? If you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. You learned this by now, didn't you, from the Savage Nation? Yeah, the propaganda minister of the Third Reich. He said if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. So Obama says, I'm not going to let gridlock and inaction and willful indifference and greed threaten the hard work of families like yours. We can't afford to wait for Congress right now. That's where I'm going ahead and moving without them. You hear this? Yay! Fascism! Go fascism! Yay, fascism! Yay, hardworking fascists! So he rattles off a series of executive orders, increasing the minimum wage for federal contractors, cap on student loan payments, and others. And he keeps going on saying he's doing it for the good of the people. And he says, now Republicans are mad at me for taking these actions. And on and on and on, and the dumb people in the crowd laugh. The stooges. The shills, we used to call them at Coney Island. The shills. Hey! Shills. They get the shills in the crowd. I never knew what a shill was. I went to Coney Island with my father to the... I told you we had a customer who was in the freak show. Don't take it wrong. I grew up at a different age. He called himself a freak. He made good money, too. Half man, half woman. And he bought, you know, merchandise for my father. But he would come out with the one breast and a half a mustache. He did, this guy. He was a customer. And in order to get the crowd, like, moving along, they had what were known, and my father would say there were shills in the crowd. I said, what's a shill? He said, well, just clap when I do. So the freak would say something. We go, he said, my father said, clap now. So what's a shill? He said, you're a shill now. That's a shill. Those are people in the crowd who use the sparks, like spark the crowd, the idiot in the crowd, right? So he draws laughter from the morons in the crowd, the stooges that they put in there, by mocking the Republicans. Now, what's interesting to me about this is that the AP article, which is normally, of course, very poorly written, a product of the lowercase education that you get in journalism schools, it ends in an interesting way. It says, Boehner's threat to drag the president to court has some serious hurdles to clear before it can be successful, hyphen, but in a courtroom, the audience likely won't be as forgiving as Friday's crowd in Minneapolis. That's a good sentence. The audience in a courtroom likely won't be as forgiving as Friday's crowd in Minneapolis. I thought that was very good. Now I read the comments on the article. That's what I like, is the comments. And it says, you know, in the history books, you always look back and wonder, how could the people have been so dumb? Didn't they see how badly would it end? He said, well, we're beginning to see the end of the USA as we know it. Panem a circenses. That's bread and circuses. As long as the government promises food, blah, blah, blah. Another person says, it has finally come to this. The Supreme Court has declared that Obama did overstep his authority, and yet he still snubs his arrogant nose and declares that he will continue. He has been given so much power by the media and the very nerve of them to actually laugh at his comments, blah, blah, blah. See, the people who write these things are not all idiots. In fact, I would call them the intelligentsia. There are many people who write these blogs, comments, who are very intelligent. They actually study these things. And they're the equivalent of the underground in the Soviet, in the ex-Soviet Union. Intelligentsia. You know what the intelligentsia is? There was an entity in the Soviet Union. It's a social class of people engaged in complex mental labor aimed at disseminating culture. That's the intelligentsia. So I would be a member of the intelligentsia. Bloggers who write intelligent things are members of the intelligentsia. We actually study these things. We are a social class of people engaged in complex mental labor aimed at disseminating culture. Now, that would include school teachers, artists, the non-political, non-stoned artists, who are actually deeply involved in the development of modern society. And the fact of the matter is, the intelligentsia can be both positive and negative. The term as itself was borrowed from Hegel in the 1840s. And it described the educated professional classes, patriotic bourgeoisie, so to speak, blah, blah, blah. But really it's associated mainly with the in Russia. And it was used as an elitist statement in those days to distance themselves from the masses. And that's, they call themselves the intelligentsia. So you can look at it in a negative way and say that anyone says they're a member of the intelligentsia is really saying they're better than the average person. I didn't say that exactly, but I am saying it kind of. The average person wants a pickup truck and a can of beer in his hand. He wants to have sex, and that's about all he wants in a sporting, like a sports game. That's it. They don't know what's going on, so they need us to tell them what's going on. We are the backbone of the nation. The American intelligentsia is the backbone of the modern American nation. We have to educate the people in order to save the Republic of America, in order to preserve the English language, in order to preserve the patriotism of the country. It's fallen upon us. I didn't say that we're messianic in our duties. I don't have a messianic complex anymore. I did when I was young. Yeah, well, maybe there's a bit of messianism in talk radio. I would say so. And a little bit of intellectual elitism. You could accuse us of that. But it's not as repulsive as you may think. We're not Bolsheviks. We're the opposite of Bolsheviks. And so, therefore, I've taken you on a little ride here. So you have to understand that it's very difficult what we do here on talk radio. We have to tell you what's going on, and we study it more than you do. That's our job, to study what the president, what the Congress is doing, put it in historical context, bring it to you in a palatable format, try to educate you as to what is going on step by step, day by day, deconstruct the lies, try to get some semblance of reality and truth out to you. In that sense, we have a very challenging job and a very dangerous job. It's a very difficult job. We're not college professors. We no college professor on earth can do what we do. They wouldn't survive a day on radio because they would have to live in the free market. In a way, we're a member of the Samizdat. Those from Russia know what I'm talking about. The Samizdat was a group of individuals who were suppressed by the government. Their literature was suppressed by the Soviet Union. And so they clandestinely printed and distributed their literature in an underground press. Samizdat, Russian from Sam, Self, and Izdat del Zvo, Publishing House. First known use, 1967. Samizdat. So the suppressed literature, the suppressed ideas of America are now, is now being expressed on radio. Do you know that? Do you have any idea that we are the equivalent of the suppressed intelligentsia under the Soviet Union? You may think it's all entertainment and it's just, oh, you don't know what he's talking about. No, my friends. We are the Samizdat. We are that. And you should understand what that means because you're living in the United Soviet States of America. Now, why do I call this the United Soviet States of America? It's a definition I first used in my book in 2005 when I first used the acronym USS of A. Think of the word Soviet. It's an agglomeration under centralized power. You know that we have states' rights, right? But under Obama, he's trying to dissolve states' rights. And if you say, no, he isn't, take a look at what he's doing to Texas and Arizona and New Mexico. He's dissolving the state by flooding them with illegal aliens. So he is, in essence, the epitome of a Soviet-style leader. Obama is an example of a Soviet-style leader. All centralized power, thumbs his nose at Congress. Finally, the Supreme Court stands up to him. They rule 9-0, including liberals. And he thumbs his nose at them and says, I'll do what the heck I want anyway. That's all. I'm just trying to give you a little background to what's actually going on around you. Now, in the Soviet Union, this underground literature took the form of carbon copies of typewritten sheets that were passed from reader to reader, right? And the subjects that were included were about what the regime was doing, transcripts of political trials, analyses of socioeconomic and cultural themes, and dissident activities. And then the Samizdat in the Soviet Union disappeared when media outlets independent of the government emerged in the early 1990s. And yet what's going on in America today is in many ways we on the radio are very much like this underground class of individuals were in the Soviet Union. We are shunned. We are mocked. We are considered outlaws by the establishment media and by the establishment class and such. That's why I'm telling you, you have to look up the word Samizdat. It's a noun, Samizdat. I don't know Russian. Samizdat. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know what I figured out over the other night? Here's what came to me. The reason we have trouble with this guy is because he was never made to be a president. He is a superb community organizer. It's all he knows how to do. Now, if that means ushering in 1 million or 30 million illegal aliens into your communities to skew the vote forever, hey, that's community organizing. He doesn't give a rat's you-know-what about America. All he cares about is organizing the communities that represent his doxy, his points of view, his left-wing points of view. So with regard to his orientation, which is community organizing, he's superb. But he's not made to be the leader of a nation where there are disparate elements and disparate opinions and a multiplicity of goals and aspirations, but more importantly, a single constitution. He doesn't give a damn about the constitution or the people. He cares only about community organizing for his left-wing fanaticism. That's why the world is falling apart. He is incapable of being a world leader, let alone a national leader. All he is a community organizer. It's all he ever has been. And he doesn't know how to stop. And that's the danger we're in. See, the bad part of this story is that's why we're in danger. We have an out-of-control rogue community organizer who seized the reins of power and is literally taking the team of horses into a cliff, over a cliff, into a sea, and he's taking us with him. Only he wouldn't know that because his four horsewomen of the apocalypse advisors are exactly on the same cart with him. We had a victory, a temporary victory, 9-0. 9-0 victory at the Supreme Court. And I pointed out, be careful, because I pointed out that we've had another president, at least one in the past, who also didn't like what the Supreme Court did. And he said to them, now that you've made your decision, rule. He said it in a different way. This was way back when, in 1832. You may say, okay, I just went to sleep. I'm a modern person. I have an iPhone. I don't care about 1832. That's a dead America. That's old stuff. Well, let me tell you what it was. It's a simple case. It has to do with the Cherokees, the Cherokee Indians who had lived in this area that became the state of Georgia for millennia. The Cherokees had lived in that area for millennia, what, 20,000 years? And all of a sudden there was a ruling by the Supreme Court that said the state of Georgia in which they were living had no authority over the Cherokees living on territory held by the Cherokee Nation. So they were in favor of the Cherokee Nation having their own sovereignty. That's what the Supreme Court said. The Native Americans have their own sovereignty. Well, the president at that time, Andrew Jackson, was a dictator. And after Supreme Court Justice Marshall read the Supreme's decision, President Jackson said, Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it. Now, I remember that. It stuck with me now all these 30, 40 years, because what it was an example of a power mad president who said, I have the army, you have nothing. And I never forgot that. He was saying power comes out of the barrel of a gun, like Mao Zedong did a long time after 1832. Remember Mao Zedong, the murderer, the mass murderer that caused the death of 60 million of his fellow Chinese? Because he instituted policies that are in many ways like the policies we're seeing emerge here in the United States of America. You heard me. I'm a student of history. And Mao Zedong said power comes out of the barrel of a gun. Now, what President Jackson was saying basically was, the Supreme Court has made their decision, now let them enforce it. You hear this? Now, that may not be the exact remark, but what we're saying is power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And what happened as a result was this Indian-hating president wound up afterwards, years later, that 45,000 Indians living in the southeastern United States were forcibly removed from Georgia on a trail of tears and sent to Oklahoma. Many of them died on the trip. He hated the Indians. And so that's why I dismissed Marshall's decision. So the moral of the story is, this is not over yet. I was looking at my dog under the desk as I broadcast here. Teddy, with the big ears, the poodle, toy poodle. He's no toy, jumped in the bay again to try to rescue somebody, but he doesn't know how big he is. Try to rescue a 240-pound ocean swimmer. He's 10 pounds, go figure. But as he sleeps underneath my desk, I realize something. God gave poodles big ears, you know why? So they could sleep during the day without having to put in electric shades on the windows. I mean, just think how wonderful that is. Teddy, you don't know how lucky you are. God gave you one suit of clothing and one pair of shoes for your whole life, and you never have to go shopping again. Our clothing, we have to mail to the White House when it gets worn out so we can give them to the illegal aliens. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you Savage America.